Let's get it, man. Yo, what up? It's the Ron Adams Podcast. Your boy Dane.
What's up, y'all? Boy, hey, what?
What's up, y'all? It's Jeremy.
Back, man. Episode 51, man. How everybody doing? How everybody living? Start with you, Heywood.
Good, man. Today I got my first sale. My second week. Technically, it's my second week. So I was out in Cali last week. So that's what's up.
Man, you think it's gonna be pretty consistent? You're gonna see that pretty much on a weekly basis with the sales and stuff?
No. Probably not. Probably not weekly, but I'm not looking for it to be weekly, but you would love for it to be bi-weekly or even you wanna be one to two a month, at least. Really wanna be three. Three, we're more so a volume brokerage, so it's more about getting more deals, getting many deals as opposed to like one big one. So, yeah. What about you, Jeremy?
Man, I'm good, man. I got some money wired to me today, so I'm feeling great right now.
Oh man, that's what I'm talking about. What we doing?
We ain't doing a goddamn thing.
That's
a
money wire. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking
about.
You letting the wolves know what's up.
Oh, hell, shit. I ain't trying to spend no money. Shit. All right. That's straight investments, dog.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I mean, I had a good week so far, man. Just been chilling. I unfortunately had to go to my hometown in Pittsburgh on Tuesday for a funeral. Had somebody that's pretty close to the family commit suicide, man. So definitely want everybody, you know, to, you know, take care of yourselves, man, and reach out to your people. You never know what's going on with them, especially around this time, man. But yeah, definitely was a smooth trip going there and back. You know, had a couple of jokes about my weight and stuff like that, but it's coming down, you know.
It's getting on you.
Man, you know, they don't pull back no punches down there.
Ooh, every time you go down there, they be talking about it.
Yeah.
Talk about something.
Like they all skinny. Wait a minute now. You don't want me, you want to get me started, man. But now we got a good episode for y'all, man. I'm going to bring the tip of the week this week, man. And more so just a progress report, how everything's been going personally with the financial literacy journey, stuff like that, man. You know, we talk about it a lot. And, in regards to just the debt that I have, that's the main goal right now, is just knocking out debt as quick as possible and trying to accelerate that as much as possible. So at this point right now, I'm at $28,350 paying off. Unfortunately, you know, starting out, I had six credit cards and I got four of those bad boys paid off on top of both of my cars paid off. So I just got two credit cards left in my student loans, and we're going to get on that pretty heavy, man. And, you know, the return is just seeing how much money that you have on a monthly basis, you know, get back into your account or into, you know, investments for your family in the future, man. It just feels good to not have that stress of living check to check like I used to a long time ago. So I implore everybody, if you're on that journey for financial freedom, man, I can tell you I'm more than halfway through that battle, man, and it feels good. So I implore everybody to jump on that as much as possible, man.
That's what's up, man.
That's what's up, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate that.
Most definitely.
Well, let's get it cracking, man. We're going to get into these trending topics, man.
Good news, everyone.
Let's get right into the news.
Trending topics.
It looks like Donald Trump has caught the COVID, man. What do y'all think about that? How what was y'all responses when y'all saw that this morning?
Shit, I was kind of happy, to be honest with you. I was kind of happy because it when a bullshitter, it was only right, it was only fitting, you know? And I mean it when I say I had no sympathy. I had no sympathy at all. People like, I wish him well. I don't wish him well, you know? Like, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Like, I wouldn't bat an eye. If the worst happened, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say I wanted it. I'm not gonna cry. You know what I'm saying? About it at all. So
that's our president, man.
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn because he's shown his card. He's played his hand. And, I'm not going to switch it up. That shit fake. For me to switch it up and for me to feel how I feel. And then for me, when he get COVID, to be like, oh, man, I hope. Nah, fuck that. I don't give a damn. Who is it?
What do you think, Jeremy?
I mean, his stances are anti my survival. His stances are, you know what I'm saying, stances that kill my children and make it life hard for people who look like me. You know what I'm saying? And his morally, where he stands, like, bro, you know, so where you stand, you know, something bad for you, like, ah, it is what it is. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He'd be like, oh, man, damn.
Damn, yeah.
That will. What about you, Jeremy? How you feel about it, man?
No, I knew it was just a matter of time. I mean, shit, he's out here living reckless, not wearing masks, not taking certain precautions. His staff isn't doing the same thing, so it's just a matter of time before it was going to happen. It's unfortunate for him that unfortunate for him that it happened this close to the election. But I'm just curious to see how serious this is going to be. Yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I think I'm at a point, man. I don't wish bad on the man, but at the same time, I'm not in a position where I can say I wish you well, bro, because it's something that you kind of had coming just based off of, you know, your rhetoric and how you were leading these people to jump out and just do whatever, not wearing masks and stuff like that. But, and I know we talked about it in the text thread, a lot of this, man, I feel like it's cap. I have a hard time believing that this man truly has COVID. I think that this is an October surprise. I think that he has two options. He gonna come out and say, I had COVID and I got through this without having any issues, really. Had all the, you know, the qualifying things like the obesity, the old age, et cetera, et cetera. And I was able to get through this so the rest of the country can get through this. Now we need to open back up. Or he's gonna take a different approach and say, hey, I know that in the beginning I said that COVID wasn't as serious as everybody was making it out to be. Now that I've had, you know, my stint with it, I can tell you that this is a serious event and we're going to start being serious about our plans and execution on it. Because it's going to make him look presidential, especially if he comes out 2 weeks before the election and comes out with that rhetoric.
It's too late for that, though, man. I think he already burned that bridge.
He got something different from us, man.
I don't really see how it benefits him, honestly.
He got something different from us.
I don't see how he benefits from. I've been really trying to think how, but I really can't call it, man. Like, even if you beat it and you say, I beat it, it's cool now, like, nobody's going to, I mean, you probably got the best doctors. I mean, people 24/7, like, I really just don't see how a lot of the misinformation and misinformed people are by way of that man and his downplaying it. You know what I mean? And we even forget, like, some of the things he said, like how he knew about things. Like, I don't know why nothing's sticking to this man, bro. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's so bad.
That proves my point even further. He's done so much within this administration that he's gotten away with. Why wouldn't he get away with something like this?
I mean, no, I'm not saying he wouldn't do it. I'm just saying I don't understand how that's the play. I don't get that. Maybe, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's something I'm not thinking of, like, let me know.
He's going to be back in hydrochloroquine. Hydrochloroquine? How do you pronounce it?
Hydrochloroquine.
But see, I looked at an article and saying he wasn't even taking it.
No, that's another one. Regeneron.
He was taking zinc and he was taking vitamin D and shit like that, but he didn't even say that. So that's what I thought he was going to say, Jeremy.
He's taking Regeneron.
When I watched that little Fox News article, he didn't say that. So I don't know what's the play now.
Yeah, I'm gonna reserve the right to think otherwise until he showed me otherwise, man. It's too convenient. It's like October. You got the election right around the corner. You come out, they could spin this all different type of ways and stuff like that. And they already, you got both sides. You got the liberals and the Republicans showing a lot of sympathy for them already. So it's all, you can't, if Biden, you can't really get out there and stomp because you're going to look insensitive going out there and still talking about how you need to be the president over Trump when he laying in the hospital bed. You know what I'm saying? So you quiet down your competition for at least 2 weeks. And then you turn up the heat as soon as you come out. I can't buy it, man. Trump done showed me too many times. I ain't gonna stub my toe this time. Damn that.
We'll see what happens. In the meantime, you know, it's not a good play. I wonder if he's gonna be tweeting from the bed. They say he already admitted in the hospital. They're gonna downplay everything. So from now, it's really about to be some bullshit on the reporting. They about to be stressed. In terms of if that nigga real sick, ain't gonna let nobody know unless that nigga was really, really sick.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's gonna be Twitter fingers or not. I wonder.
He sent out a video before he went to Walter Reed Hospital just saying that he was in good spirits and he feels fine. Stuff like that. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
All right, man. Let's keep it moving, man. I don't know if y'all saw Big Sean did an interview with Fat Joe here recently, man. Looks like Kanye may owe this man $3 million. Now, that didn't come from the interview. That came from Charlamagne Tha God during the Breakfast Club and also Brilliant Idiots podcast. But it looks like when Big Sean first signed with Kanye, he signed with them for $15,000. And his first album didn't come out until 4 years later, man. So how do y'all feel about everything that Kanye's been preaching about ownership and giving back his team, his masters, when he's been playing the crook the whole time?
I think that whole entire rhetoric is all based on what benefits Kanye. That's basically what it boils down to. He's not worried about anybody else. Only the things that directly impact him, he speaks on. So right. I don't think he gives a damn about anybody else. And I mean, it's clear with this coming out that's the case. That's how I feel.
That's crazy.
He ain't gonna trick me again. You ain't gonna trick me again. So I already know. Whenever Kanye say anything, yo, you have to look for what's the real reason? Because it's gonna be some like hidden self-benefit. You know what I'm saying? He may be mad at Gap. Cause he was talking crazy and they didn't give him the recognition that he wanted. So he out here, now he gonna do a video to talk about black empowerment and shit. In the meantime, you got a dude who, Big Sean been around way longer.
Yeah.
Not way longer than Kanye, but Sean been around a minute. So that's totally unacceptable. And you was talking about, nigga, you was just talking shit, talking about how Jay was some of Jay practices. You was complaining about Jay. And then you, 15,000? Bruh, 15,000, bro? Make it fuck out here, bro.
Yeah, and you got to live off of that for 4 years?
That's not even that bad. It's like, what is that, bro? All the people he worked with.
That was his event.
All the people who did them seven albums with him, I didn't want to do that shit again. Nas didn't want to do that shit again. Only person who really kind of benefited was, what's his name? The clip.
Pusha T.
And I think that was more so because it was around Drake beef time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm not saying the album was bad. I mean, it's just seven songs. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a nigga. So his mentality was like seven is the minimal amount of songs you get to get nominated for a Grammy. So it's just like, yo, we're trying to do the least amount of work to get the most accolades. That's where we're at now.
Yeah. You know? That's just crazy, man. I was like, man, how are you going to get out here and talk about how all these corporations are robbing us and we signing up for slavery, and then you go in and you sign people up for the same deals that you trying to get everybody else out of? It's like, how you gonna do that, man? That's ridiculous to me. That's like, he reminds me of Steven from Django. That's who he is. That's just ridiculous, man.
Big Sean, nice guy. I don't know why he's being so nice.
I was saying, he's a lot better than me, man. I'll be Aaron Kanye. Yeah, I'm like, hey, oh, okay. So you ready to give up the masters? Well, let's go ahead and get this locked up. I'll be on him every day until that contract was signed. Get my masters back, man. That's ridiculous. Speaking of contracts, though, man, which I think of Dr. Dre, man, looks like he won a portion of his settlement with his wife today with the judge. I think it was today. I don't know if it was yesterday or today. But he denied her claim of the 1.5 or 2 million that she was seeking for spousal support.
I hope so. That shit was ridiculous, man.
And let you know, man, them contracts ironclad, man. I done had several instances with contracts and with a previous employer where I had a client who was like, oh, I ain't paying it. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. Till them letters start coming. The threats of liens start coming. I never had my cell phone ring so fast. Like, oh, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. No, let's talk about giving up that business.
Exactly.
That is crazy, man. And he's still gonna offer to pay for her security. And he also pays like her black card bill, which is $150,000 to $350,000 a month. That's how much she spent on the black card. That should be enough.
I'm sorry.
Nah, bro.
Ain't no
way.
Ain't no man gonna fuck with that, bro. And I see a lot of women not even like, dang, like, I don't even need that much, like, it's unfortunate. And this is why people of substance, like, I can't blame them for not wanting to get married. I can't ever knock Oprah for not getting married, bro. I can't knock her. Like, for what? There's no benefit for Oprah getting married. None. To me. No. I don't think so. Like, all they could do was hurt her family's well.
Yeah.
We had to get into the construct of marriage for that point. So, shout out to Dr. Dre. That's big news. That's him, man.
That's what's up, man. Well, hey, man, I don't know if y'all heard about Tory Lanez sales after his album had dropped, basically, especially with all the fiasco that's been going on with Meg Thee Stallion. But it looks like he sold 55,000 copies on the first week, man. What do y'all think about that?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either.
She probably go hard. I ain't even listen to it, man. I would have, but
man, that shit hit, dog.
Boy, you listen to it.
Yeah, that shit. I listened to it the first night it came out. I listened to it 2-3 times. You know what I'm saying?
You did, bro?
Nah, hell no. Nah. I'm
Damn. Nah, man. People more. I don't know, man. Like, where your morals at, bro? Where your morals at? People, I don't know. It's been many people who I didn't think they was gonna come at the angle, and just be like, "Man, we gotta." I don't know who to believe, and it's just like, "Bro, there's nothing you could say, unless she had a gun or she was." It's just nothing, bro.
Unless it was like an accidental discharge or something like that.
Accidental discharge, you know. They saying that. You know,
you shouldn't even pull it out though. Why you pull it out?
And she's walking away, so that really just kind of like, I just don't know how you would justify it. But then, and then again, as we said last time, how you played it, how you dropped the album instead of explaining it. If you really didn't do it, you would have just went on live and talked about it. That's how.
Yeah, but yo, check this out. So I was back at home. I told you I was back at home on Tuesday, and I was talking to a family member. I'm not gonna put them out there. But they was like, hey, man, you heard that new Tory? I'm like, man, I'm not listening to that bullshit. You know, he shot Meg. He was like, man, he didn't shoot that girl, man. And he didn't shoot that girl. He said, hey, I'm going hard, boy. He's like, I'm going to listen to it. I was like, nah, man, I can't listen to it. I said, I can't listen to it just off of the strength of he probably did shoot her. He was like, man, now think about it. If he shot her, how come he didn't break no bones in her feet and stuff like that? And
then niggas gonna be scientists. Niggas turned to Bill Nye the Science Guy all of a sudden. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Bro, what?
And then they were talking about like the bullet fragments and stuff like that, where like he didn't actually shoot her, like he shot the ground and then the fragments went through her feet. I'm like, right. Even still.
Even if he never hit her with the bullets, if you shot at Megan Thee Stallion, in any direction, he's a whole ass nigga. That's how, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter.
He allegedly said, "Dance, bitch," when he shot him. Shut up. I know. I'm like, no, man. There's no way. He can't get away with that, man. There's no way. No way.
Apparently he is, man. Apparently he is. But I want to see who's going to do a feature with him. I want to see who's going to do a feature. He's very talented, man, but I can't rock with it, man. I can't. He's going to have his fans, but I don't care. Whatever, man. You got your little pocket of immoral fans? Yeah, you can have it. Whatever.
It's going to be wild, man. It's going to be wild to see. So anybody been watching the finals, man?
Nah.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I watched the last game.
For real? Y'all think the Heat going to get swept?
Hell yeah. Especially now.
What's going on with that? I heard Jimmy Butler was hurt, man.
Yeah.
No, he rolled his ankle twice, but he going to be all right. It's Dragic. What'd he get? Didn't they say he tore something in his plantar fasciitis or whatever it's called? So that's big right there. So yeah, nah, they ain't got no shot.
I never had an issue with my plantar fasciitis, but I know somebody that did, man. And if you walking around like they was, there ain't nothing to play with. He ain't gonna be playing at all. This dude, like he needed a wheelchair the way he was acting.
Well, when he looked down like that, I was like, is that his Achilles? I was like, what happened? Because he looked down like, I was like, oh, shoot.
It got you triggered. You thought you start grabbing yours.
Hell yeah. I grabbed both of them. I was like, oh, shit. Both of them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But no, man, let's keep it moving, man. Jeremy, I know you wanted to talk about the brain-eating amoeba, man. I wanted to. You got any information on that in regards to what's going on with that?
Now, that's a crazy story. Out in Lake Jackson, I don't know if y'all heard, but a six-year-old kid died from a brain-eating amoeba. It's called Naegleria fowleri or something like that. And it's crazy because they tested, the initial testing that they did, out of the 11 samples, three of them tested positive. One was from the host bib at that kid's house, and his name is Josiah McIntyre. It's unfortunate he lost his life. And hydrant and something else tested positive as well. But they're talking about how it's going to take a while for them to be able to get rid of all the amoeba, because I guess the process is you have to boil the water, which takes like, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And then you got to check the chlorine levels, make sure they're at a state where, I guess, it burns out the system. Then you got to scour the system and then kill the amoeba. So, I mean, that's a process that they're saying that's going to take months. So basically, it's in the water supply. So
that's what I was going to ask. I thought this was something that you can only contract, like if you're swimming in a lake or something like that. So no, it's like,
in our it's actually in the water supply. Yeah, exactly.
Wow, man.
So, yeah. So how many?
They're saying like, oh, go ahead.
How many people?
Just one confirmed that I know of. But they're saying, you know, don't shower, all types of stuff, bro.
Well, yeah, because I think it's been like I saw something recently with Greg Abbott. He did like, I guess, a state of emergency for the state of Texas behind it too as well. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, like, is it something that's in our water supply? I think it was in the Houston area. It's Lake Jackson, Houston.
Yeah, Lake Jackson. Yeah, Brazoria County.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just in that area as of right now. So
I'm trying to go get me some bottled water, man. I'm tired of them.
But I mean, it falls in line with 2020. If it's not one thing, it's another, dog. I'm like, God damn, this year has been a pretty crazy year.
You can literally write a movie about 2020, and it'd be a blockbuster hit, man. It's just been too much stuff back to back every month. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous, man. Everybody be safe out there. I don't even know what to say in that regard, man. Just kind of, you know, be vigilant, especially everybody in the Houston area. I don't know if it's, you know, spread across Texas, but if you're in the Houston area, man, our prayers are with you. You just gotta be safe.
Most definitely.
Conduct yourself accordingly, man. This is crazy. And hey, Wood, I know you want to talk about, man, Black-owned businesses right now. And how they're managing during COVID and stuff like that. I know that we're seeing like 1 in 6 small businesses are actually shutting down and stuff like that. So I don't know how this, you know, truly affecting the Black-owned businesses, but I do appreciate the article that you sent in regards to just how hard it is to get, you know, PPE loans and things of that nature. So I want you to elaborate on that a little bit for us.
Yeah, so, you know, this article at, with New York Times says more than 40% of Black owners reported working in April when businesses were feeling the worst, as opposed to 17% of white Americans. And then, so just, you know, it's kind of like they say, like, when white people get cold, like, Black people get the flu. And so it's just kind of like, obviously, when any type of hardship happens, Black businesses are really going to be affected substantially. So not only that, like, as you said, like, the PPP loan has, and for whatever reason, has not really been translated to Black people. And they've been tying it to banking. And I don't know if that means, like, these niggas don't have banks, which that could be a case. Like, do y'all, are y'all, like, running this shit on y'all? Personal checking, which I could see people doing that. You know what I mean? Like, for a minute, like, I didn't have my shit, like, sewn up, you know, but you got to get your stuff in order. So when you do business, you really need to do business. And so I feel like some of us, we're not doing business, I won't say properly, but we didn't have our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
For example, I know a person who needed the PPP loan, but her DBA expired. So her DBA expired in like November 19. So on paper, her business entity did not exist when the PPP loan was like, submit your documents. Mm. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like little stuff like that, if you don't have no bank statements, if you don't have, and I'm not forcing it because I know there's some institutional probably forces in terms of racism probably there as well. Very, very much there. But it's really just kind of like a call to be like, damn, man, we really need to try to patronize Black businesses during this time. And it's also a byproduct. And again, it's just a reflection of the society we live in. Back a while back, we talked about the McKinsey report saying that in a couple of years, Black people will be displaced at a higher rate of jobs because of not just because of their workforce, retail, food, industry, administrative jobs. That's manufacturing. Those are places where we're at over, you know, and those are the ones that was going to be hit hardest by technology. Well, now we, those same groups are hit the hardest by COVID. You know what I'm saying? So it's really just the same.
It's accelerated. This happened a lot faster than it was.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So it's just, again, if we're going to go through this shit, we got to listen and we got to pivot. And I feel like we have to put ourselves in the right place. I know I wasn't doing real estate before this, but I made a power play to make sure I was always going to be in a place that's needed, can't be replaced by no computer. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we're trying to build as well. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like we have to be knowledgeable of this that's going on as Black people. But in terms of our Black business owners, we got to grow our businesses faster, I think. Because studies show that Black businesses are more likely to be sole proprietors. And so we have to start thinking about scaling a little bit more. We have to really make sure our ducks are in a row in business. And we got to try to, like, I hate to say it, but, well, we're going to have to look at getting funding so that you can accelerate your business faster. It's really hard to grow a business and taking 15 years when you can grow it in 5, because doing 15 years, you can burn out, a recession can happen, you know, like a lot of things can go on. So it's really kind of sad, man. That's very sad.
Yeah. I think in relation to the PPP loans, just based off an article that you were sending, man, I think it's more so on the government too, in order to make sure that these funds are allocated appropriately. I think that, of course, they need to take a tiered approach in regards to who qualifies for PPP loan and let those people get access first. Like, let's say, for instance, if you're only generating $100,000 in revenue on an annual basis, and you probably need to be one of the businesses that are first assigned to go ahead and apply and receive funding. And you, I mean, you can have a start and a stop period as far as a cutoff in that regard. But what's happening is a lot of these large corporations that already have the relationships with the banking institutions, they're just going in and the banks are actually processing the loans for them and stuff like that. They're not even doing it on their own. They may have a person that they work with in the banking institution that'll call them up and say, hey, we can take care of, you know, the paperwork, or we can expedite it for you. We can do all this a lot faster for you, so you're not in the back of the line with this. Now, granted, I mean, it's going to be needed on both sides because it's supposed to take care of like the wages of a corporation, or, you know, the leasing of the buildings and things of that nature. But there's got to be an approach where we can attack like the small Black-owned businesses first, or not even that, just any small business first, and then have a tiered approach to, you know, what's needed, you know, down the line. Because Disney is not hurting for any money. They can wait. Kanye not hurting for any money. He can wait a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And you can provide some other incentive to, you know, be a stopgap at least in that time period.
I want to read this part. It says, and it kind of goes to show, and this is what I need white people to understand, or non-Black people, or anybody really from that point much to understand, is this is a covert, I'm saying, a covert example of racism. What I mean by that is I don't necessarily think the banks are like, yo, don't give money to Black people, right? But regardless, that's what's happening. So it says here, there's a structural flaw in the program. It uses banks as middlemen. Anytime you create a big program and give banks the ability to choose which customers it prioritizes, you're going to have disparities. Credit disparities are where past injustices lead to present disparities. So I don't, and that's crazy, because I don't remember them asking for my credit. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get no report for that. I don't know. Yeah. It says, according to data with the payroll and human resources company, the top five industries hit hardest among Black-owned businesses were, again, food services, arts, entertainment, recreation, manufacturing, construction, transportation, and warehousing. Now, transportation, I'm a little bit confused on. That may be people like Uber.
Uber and Lyft people, yeah.
That may be Uber and Lyft. But I know, like, in the more regard, like, Germany kind of industry is rocking and rolling, and truckers is still, like, no problem. And even warehousing, so to speak, even... I'm not even sure. Maybe that's like overseas. I know if anything, like I was trying to buy some furniture and that shit was just on a standstill with COVID for a whole minute. So anyway, this is an example of, again, I don't think the banks are just trying to be like that. But regardless, I feel like banks have to take responsibility for that. And this is why it's important for us to be in certain levels of leadership, because I don't know if you're not Black, you're checking for that. Are you looking for that? You know what I'm saying? The data is there. And so I don't know how we fix this at this point, because now we already so late into this, you know, and I don't think they're doing another one. These niggas really looking like not going to pass any more COVID funding. Like, we literally had a world pandemic and we gave y'all $1,200 the whole time. Yeah. That's just crazy. That's just crazy.
Absolutely.
So, y'all basically talked about what I was going to bring up. But I think one of the biggest reasons why we're having difficulty as Black business owners is, you know, we don't have enough, you know, liquid cash on hand to be able to survive during times like this, unfortunately. And even in that article, it was very interesting, because it said, what, from like April 30th to May 12th, Hispanic and Black owned businesses only received 12% of the funding. Like, that's horrible, man.
Yeah,
because between both of them, you would think, you know, what's the population of Black and brown? You got to think it's what, 40?
Well, Black is 13 by itself. And then,
yeah. I mean, you got to think it's in the 30s at least.
Yeah.
Man. By 20, yeah. At least, man.
Yeah.
And so somebody dropped the ball on the front end, I think. Like, they need to have some type of filter through that, make sure they weren't discriminating, because like one of y'all, who was that Dame said, like, yo, these big businesses got plenty of money. Plenty. Oh, yeah. And I'm not even saying that's necessarily a bad thing if you was keeping people employed. But I know some people, I know somebody, owner of a big box gym, and he told me, he was like, yo, if I can get that PPP, you know what I'm saying? He got two big loans. One of them was PPP, and the other one, he was able to pay off a huge debt with it based on that. And so this shit is real. I know somebody else who was struggling with their rent, and they could not get the PPP. That was the person that I told you could not get the PPP. And she was literally debating on paying her studio or paying her rent for her apartment. She wound up paying her studio because her studio is how she made money. So she was scared if she paid the apartment and didn't have no studio, how is she supposed to make money? So it's just a mess, man.
Yeah, it's definitely hard, man. I hope that in regards to legislation moving forward, I mean, or at least they're refining it and trying to, you know, make it a lot easier for people, especially the small businesses, because when you look at it at the end of the day, you're just going to have big box retailers around. And that's just a recipe for disaster, because all they're going to do is just mark up their pricing and stuff like that. They're designed to push out the little man. You know, the Amazons of the world, the Walmarts of the world.
Oh, is that the free market? The free market that the conservatives are talking about? The one that's so good for everybody? Get the fuck out.
Exactly, man. Well, let's move along, man. Let's get into our main topic, man. Of course, we had the debate on Tuesday, too, and I had the pleasure of actually listening to it on the way home from my hometown in Pittsburgh, man. So, of course, we definitely wanted to talk about it. I mean, you know.
You from Pennsylvania?
Boy, you out your mind. Nah. Damn sure we'll be making that drive. That'd be a plane ride. Nah, Pittsburgh, Texas, man.
Man, that was some crazy shit, bro. Like, I ain't never.
The shit show.
That's shit, yeah.
The shit, yeah. That's the best to say in German. Like, I was like, is this real? Like, I'm a Great Debate is one of my favorite movies. You know, a debate is not very hard. You make a point, you got time, you got an opportunity to rebuttal. Like, you have opportunity to talk. Like, they give you time to talk. As long as you just don't interrupt the other person. And I can't listen to people talk over each other, man. You know, I mean, Biden got a little bit of a speech impediment. That's fine. I ain't gonna knock him for that. You know what I'm saying? Man has done well for himself despite that. I don't think it's too serious anyway, but, you know, like, dog, that was so disrespectful. That's what it was. And it's like, yo, the bar, morally, that's what I'm continuously amazed with, guys. It's like, the moral compass of us. Y'all think that's cool? Yo, if you was talking to me, you kept talking over me like that, yo, I'm going to have to check you, or you're going to have to step in my square. You're going to have to see me like that. Because you're not, you either going to respect me, or I'm going to remove myself from this situation because you're being disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? He called him out. Y'all, this man talked about this man's son.
Yeah, man.
He talked about this man's son who had, to my knowledge, had died. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how
he didn't talk about the one that died, but he was talking about the one that's alive still and calling him, you know,
who had did drugs.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares, man? You know, Trump had smoked some weed or whatever, probably did lines on a bitch titty, you know.
He need to be asking his son. his eyes stay gloss. Hell, they stay harder than a Krispy Kreme donut every time I see him.
We try to play it right, and you can't play. I don't know how you play it like that. I just know that nice shit is looks soft, and he don't respect that. With a bully, you gotta bite a bully back. You gotta hit a bully back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot play that shit like he is. I wonder how Obama would be on that stage right there. I wonder.
Let's go watch it. Go ahead, Jeremy. You got it.
Now, but the thing is, though, is like, do you want to fight back, or do you want to try to look more presidential and then have everybody look at him like, look at this clown, like look what he's doing. Seriously, he's gonna do this during the debate. He's gonna run this country again,
bro. No, you can't think, bro. That's not what's working.
But that's what Trump wanted.
No, bro. That shit. I mean, I feel you, Jeremy. Yes, because he looks like an idiot. But the other side don't feel that way. You know what I'm saying? They see him as weak. And I think, obviously, you can't cater to everybody. I think really what you're trying to swing Joe Biden is you're trying to swing them people who voted for Obama. who then switched to Trump. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like you could have hit it a little harder, be like, look, y'all, is this okay to you? Is this okay to you? Let me talk to America. Like, I feel like he just, and maybe that's just his talking. You know what I mean? Like, but he could do better. I'm not saying he did bad, and I damn sure don't think he lost the debate. But I'm just saying, why the Democrats always focused on being nice and politically correct? Kamala come out on a tweet, we wish them well. Fuck that, bro. Fuck that shit. I'm not saying cuss them out. But, like, that shit is not working. It's not working.
But I think it's more so, I get what you're saying on that, but I think it's more so a failed opportunity, because I think at that position, just based off of the decorum of past debates, like, that's way different from what we've been used to seeing. Like I said before, it was a consensus, like, soon as that debate was over, I said, man, as an American, I'm embarrassed that that's what we represented, or that's what we put out for the world to see. And then you can see the consensus across the board. So I think it is a platform where you still have to look presidential, but Biden lost his opportunities to actually hit back when it really mattered. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, he even made comments like where Biden, he would make a comment like where the president was out golfing and the president came back and said, "Nah, Joe, you're probably out golfing more than me." And my immediate response was, "You got to hit him back right there." It's like, what is it? You said I was in the basement. So what is it going to be? Am I in the basement or am I golfing? Because the way you're trying to paint me in the narrative that you're trying to paint is that I'm so old, I'm so feeble, I can't get out and do things. Like, you got to hit him back in those certain instances where it's like it's warranted. And I think Joe lost the opportunity to do that on a couple of instances. It was more so entertaining watching Trump and Chris Wallace go back and forth with each other.
Poor Chris Wallace, man.
Bro, I thought he was going to say, "If you don't shut the fuck up," I thought he was going to say that.
It was rough for him. So I hope they talk about seriously changing some things around in the next debate, cutting off mics, because that's not fair. That's not fair. Everybody gotta get a chance to talk. And the ad hominems, the personal attacks, and people don't understand because they don't understand fallacies. But y'all, so y'all know, and we know on this thing, like, diverting to the past thing. Sorry, not diverting to the past. Diverting that had nothing to do with the topic. Name calling, sleepy. Just because you call him Sleepy Joe doesn't mean he wouldn't be a good president. Just because a nigga likes sleep. That shit's true, which it doesn't even fucking matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to understand, and people, it's crazy to me how easy people are misinformed, y'all, in the information age, you know? Like, so I hope they do a better job next time keeping people quiet. I'm almost for sure they're going to cut mics. And Biden, you need to be ready to handle and get on that ass about COVID. You need to, I feel like he dropped the ball when he was asking about, you don't have no police groups who support you. I feel like he did good on some other things though, talking about the suburbs when he was like, ain't no people coming to the suburbs to come get you. So he did good on a lot of things. I do remember that part, and I actually didn't hear that part when he was like Proud Boys. I heard about that after.
Yeah, so I don't know if that cutting the mics thing is going to work, though, be honest with you, man, because I can already see the responses. It's like they don't want the president to talk. They cut his mic. The fix is in. You know, this is a conspiracy to get the president to quiet the president down and stuff like that. So the cutting the mics thing, I don't know if that's necessarily going to work, you know, moving forward. I think he definitely had a
in a debate, bro. I guess an academic debate, they're not talking at the same time. So that's still a debate. It's not a presidential debate. You still have the opportunity to open your mouth. But I'm saying everybody agrees that the product was not worth that format. So I'm not saying you start out like that, but if it gets to that point, you know what I mean? Like, that nigga didn't even let a dude finish. And sometimes to him too, you got to look at cutting down his mic. You have to. But I want to see what happens. I'm wondering who's going to be the next moderator. Is it?
I don't know. I have to take a look at.
It's probably not going to be a father. I wonder who's going to be the moderator next.
Oh,
I can take a look at it. But I had a couple of things that kind of stood out to me too as well, man. I think Biden lost opportunity to cite the hypocrisy of holding back Merrick Garland. We talked about it on a previous episode. But, you know, in 2016, when there was a vacancy for a Supreme Court justice come in, Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland. And it was like 8 or 9 months before he was actually going up, before the 2016 election was starting. And Biden, he lost the opportunity to hit back on that because President Trump, he came back. He was like, my term is for 4 years. I have 4 years. I can pick a person for that seat because that's just the standard, which, I mean, at the same time, it is true. But you only got 2 or 3 more months in this seat. You know what I'm saying? Just based on the will of the people. Now, if you won the election, I'll be OK with you going ahead and picking a Supreme Court justice. But if there's a possibility that you're going to get pulled from that seat, like you shouldn't be picking a Supreme Court justice to come in. That's based off of the precedent that your party set. We didn't set that precedent. Your party set that precedent. So I think Biden lost the opportunity there. And then in regards to COVID, I think Biden needed to press a little bit more. He got sucked into that argument about H1N1. And yeah. Trump was trying to compare H1N1 to COVID, and they don't even, they're stark differences in regards to, you know, how it affected this community and stuff like that, man. Even Moderna, like the pharmaceutical company, they said they're not going to have a vaccine ready for mass use until spring or summer of next year. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things that we need to push back on.
I think he should have backdoored the H1N1 and talked about how well they handled Ebola. I think they should have brought that up.
Trump brought it up.
Yeah, but Biden should have brought up
Ebola. How we responded to it, and right. We only had one death versus, you know, we're over 200,000 deaths right now with COVID-19, and this all because you're trying to you know, fix the pockets of your cronies are people that don't even respect you. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of those people that he's trying to fill a line the pockets of, they don't respect him. They don't like him. You know what I'm saying? They think he's a fake and a fraud. It's just, he's a con man that got away with getting into the White House. I don't know how the hell he got in there, but he got in there. You know what I'm saying? And then also he was, they did a comparison. That's one thing that stuck out to me too, is like, 1.5 million more jobs were created in the last 3 years of Obama's term versus the first 3 years of Donald Trump's term. So it's like when you got, you know, people that are quote unquote on your side, like Chris Wallace, that's from Fox News, that's spitting you the truth. He just disregarded that and said, no, I had the best economy ever. Like, no, we got facts in front of you to tell you that it's wrong. And you still are like, sitting up here lying after we present the facts to you, man.
And he keeps correlating like the stock market with like the entire economy, though. Just because the stock market is doing well doesn't necessarily mean that the economy is the best that it's ever been, though.
Yeah, because I saw an article today. I'm glad you mentioned that, Jeremy. I saw an article today where they said we are truly in a position where we're about to see everybody fall off a cliff when it comes to housing and mortgages and stuff like that. Here pretty soon with the economy. We lost, last month it was like another 800,000 jobs.
Yeah,
another 800,000 people filed for unemployment. It's like, you're not paying attention to that, man. That's something it's not an immediate effect. It's something that's gonna happen over time, especially when people live in check to check. You'll probably see it, you know, in November, December in that regard. And then race relations. You know, it's clear to Trump, they asked, like, what was your plan to elevate Black people? You know what Trump's answer was? Law and order. Like, come on, what else we got to do? I don't get it. What else we got to do, man? He's basically telling you, I don't give a damn about, you know, Black people and their issues and stuff like that. I run on law and order. I want to make sure law and order is the focal point of this you know, election. I want to sow the seeds of hate. I want to make sure that everybody hate each other and potentially cause a civil war. And if I don't win, best believe I'm gonna rally the troops to get out there and cause all kind of dissension and chaos.
Cowboys.
stand back and stand by.
That's what?
Crazy.
I'm gonna give you some bullets right now.
Man, speaking, I want to talk. Speaking of Law and Order, I was listening to a video with Lupe Fiasco, and he said something very profound that I want to share about our police system. And I thought it was the perfect way to explain it because of our affiliation and with Kappa Alpha Psi. And they were like, they first said, he was like, there's two ways to think about crime. He said, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, you can solve the criminal or you can solve the crime. Okay, and I thought about that. And it was like, okay, if you take a homeless person, for example, who is, you know, loitering or something like that, and you arrest him, the question is, have you solved the crime? You know what I'm saying? And if you're loitering, you know, you get him out, what you've done is, you know, you threw him in jail, he probably don't have the money, he gonna get out, now he has debt, and he gonna go back, and he may probably gonna loiter again. Alternative to that would be asking yourself, what is the actual, what can I do to solve this crime? Can I create a safe area for this to make a win-win situation? You know what I mean? But it all goes into mindset. And I've talked about this, the good guy versus bad guy, criminal mindset, meaning like there are bad people out there and we have to go save the public from them. Versus, and this is what he said, we have to see criminality as a lack of resources and services. And I was like, damn, that's a good way of saying it. You know what I mean? And so he said that we have the people who are trying to protect us operating like a fraternity as opposed to a service to the people. Y'all know we noobs. Y'all know it's info we don't share. Y'all know it's things that we don't, we let certain things out, and there's other things we don't let out. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, we're going to ride with the noobs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when he said that, I was like, damn, the police is like acting like they's in the bond, bro. And like, what are the likelihood? I'm going to keep it a buck. What is the likelihood me, a capo, gonna go to Texas State and be on the board, of Hayes County, and they can get kicked off of campus? I'm going to keep it a buck. Am I going to vote to keep, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I going to vote to keep my chapter off campus?
Hell no. You know better.
No. I was like, no, it's not going to happen.
And not let a new find out about it. See you. Quick.
It's just not going to happen. And so the police, this, our frustration with the police is how you police. It's not police in itself. It's that you're acting like a higher fraternal order. And y'all know how we is when we cross. We like, yo, I'm a noob and you not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Greek and you not.
Yeah.
That's not how the police should be. You know, the police should be like, yo, I'm here to serve. When I pull somebody over, hey, how you doing? You know, whatever. It's just a customer service mindset. That's how I feel. And as opposed to that, he was saying we have police acting like higher than us, looking down on us. And that's why you see the interactions a lot of times that you see. And I just thought that was like real profound. I thought that was like a great way to explain it.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, because it's like, how do other corporations like not have that same power? Because I don't see like somebody working for Walmart and being like, all for one, one for all. We all work at Walmart. We're all gonna like ride together. If somebody were to get fired, if somebody were to, you know, do something at Walmart and get fired, they'd be like, oh, well, you know what I'm saying? You know, keep it moving. But in the police force, it's a whole lot different. And I think it's more so just the power dynamic or the access to the power, stuff like that. And that's, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, you know, just based off of the job and stuff like that, but it's something to definitely take a look at, just the power dynamic. And that's something that we're just going to have to address, you know, with legislation. It's not going to be, you know, you can't rely on the police force to reform themselves. It's going to have to be done by legislation and reformation over time. So, man, it's, I don't know, it's just crazy. And I want you to elaborate a little bit, because I know you had said earlier about, you know, Joe Biden lost the opportunity when, you know, Trump was pressing him about who's supporting him in regards to the police force and the unions and stuff like that. What do you mean by that?
He asked point blank. He was like, what law enforcement agency supports you? Mm. And Joe was just kind of like, I'm not going to ask this silly question, but he didn't answer nothing. Yeah. And regardless if it's true, that shouldn't have been his answer. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, name one. And Joe couldn't do it. Now, I know all the damn police is not against Joe Biden. They can't be. I don't think the majority of them are. But the fact that he couldn't answer that did make him look bad. You know what I mean? Not because of us, but because the white folks would be scared that, you know, that the Antifa is going to come to the burbs and burn down the burbs. And even though that's not true, sometimes you have to speak to the fears. And so I remember I told y'all last week, I told y'all I had a conversation with a white man, and he told me when we was in Louisville, he told me straight up, he was like, how do you feel about defund the police? And I was like, honestly, I think the intention is good. I think the marketing is terrible. I would never use those words. And he was like, I'm gonna keep it real with you, Chris. He's like, white people feel scared about that. And they feel like that's what's gonna happen. Like that. The suburb people are going to come, and the riots and protesters are going to come to the suburbs. And I was like, why? That's never happened. Can y'all think of a time that's ever happened? Ever?
It's a dog.
A riot in the suburbs. A riot.
Right.
I don't know. I know about a riot in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? With black people. I know about a city burn, but I don't never heard of a white suburb being affected like that. But he was just telling me, he wasn't like siding with that, but he would just let me know that white fear is a real thing. And I think Joe has a great opportunity to speak on that.
Absolutely.
Maybe he brings the facts, but also he just lays it out and be like, listen, this is a fake. I would just be like, yo, the country is more divided. And it was like, I would just be like, We're more unsafe in crime. And I feel like everything is worse, y'all. Everything is worse since.
Oh, yeah. Under your administration.
And I feel like you could just be like, lay it out like this. Be like, yo, listen, I don't know. Like, Trump is the president. Like, I want to let y'all know this. Like, white people, like, Trump is the president right now. So all the stuff you having issues with, I'm not the president. Joe Biden is not the president. A Democrat is not a president. You know what I mean? Like, so at the end of the day, he's still escaping ridicule of the America that he produced. And that's very frustrating.
Yeah, and I think he probably lost the opportunity to look right in the camera and say, look, everybody that's, you know, in a police force, please understand this, that I support you 100%. Like I said before, I'm not about defunding the police. And I want you to know that. The biggest issue is that we have a couple of bad apples within the police force, and we got to eradicate that out of the system. We can eradicate that out of the system and do true reform, then I think that we'll be in a better place. And that's a thing. I think that he's not catching on to those cues, because those messages, as whack as they are effective. Just like you said from the guy that you talked to in Kentucky, that stuff does work. So you got to be on your P's and Q's, and you got to be ready for it. They start talking about the crime bill, they start throwing it at you.
You should be able to talk about the crime bill, even though that's bullshit. You should be ready for that one.
Come on, it's 20 plus years. You got to be ready to counterpunch with that, man.
And I would have been like, the crime bill. Let's talk about the crime bill with the Republicans and Reaganomics that put the blah 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 from blah blah blah. Actually, a lot of people don't know the 94 crime bill was bipartisan.
Yep.
I'm not did that nigga write that shit? Like, literally, he was the one who wrote it?
I think so, yeah. I think he was the one that wrote it.
People, and I'm not trying to exclude, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to exclude, but mass incarceration started way before.
Yeah, let's talk about the 13th Amendment, the legalization of slavery in the prison industrial system. Let's talk about that first.
That shit started way before that, and the Democrats are implicit in that as well. But wait a minute, like, so you got the instance of Democrats being stupid with the 94 crime bill, but you're gonna display Nixon and his interference with COINTELPRO, just after COINTELPRO and the things he did. You're going to talk about Reagan. You're going to talk about Bush. You know what I'm saying? You're going to talk about racist presidents like, man, what's that dude's name? Wilson. Woodrow Wilson. Like, there's some long stretches of Republican racism, and you're just going to focus on that? Like, let's put apples to apples. And let's like, bro, at the end of the day, line up the policy, bro.
Yeah.
Line up the policy. Line that shit up and tell me. Bro, I went to the Trump website. That nigga don't even have policies on the bitch.
And that's exactly where I wanted to cap it off. I think the missed opportunity was to talk about, nigga, what's the plan?
I'm about to go to this site right now. I want to go right now.
Trump did not mention a plan for anything.
No, hell not. Even with the replacement of Obamacare, he couldn't tell you shit, man.
No plan. I've never seen somebody have the leverage that he has and doesn't even have a plan for his second term. Nothing. No plan.
So it looks like now he has coalitions. So now he has Women for Trump, Latinos for Trump, Black Voices for Trump, Veterans for Trump. But yo, when you open this shit, it's not very thorough, y'all. It's not, y'all. And that's what I'm like.
He piecemeal put together something for Black people, the Platinum Plan.
I'm not even joking, y'all. The Workers for Trump site has 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs in an email form to sign up. That's it. No policy, workers. No policy. No plan on that one. No plan. Let's go to the cops. I bet you got some plans for the cops. Let's see. Nothing. No cops for Trump. Again, it's more so like the opt-in form. So what my guess is, damn, them motherfuckers smart marketing. What they going to do with that, and when they get you on, they know you signed up for Cops for Trump email list, they're going to send you shit that's specifically based on that demographic. Evangelists for Trump. So again, as Dame said, it's still not a plan, but they going to feed you propaganda straight to your phone. Damn,
yeah,
bro. Fuck. Let me see. Latinos for Trump. Hopefully, you got some issues on Latino for Trump. Now, on Latino, he has freedom, faith, family, economics, and opportunity. So he has some stuff. But it's just
Ain't no plan.
line it up, bro. And it's been frustrating when I've seen some of my brothers and sisters after that debate, still like, I still ain't voting for. You know, and I'm like, bro, like, it's getting hard, y'all. It's getting hard to be like, dog, you're not cooning. It's getting hard.
Exactly. It's that got so bad, I'm just like, look, I don't have the energy for it no more, man. I'm gonna be over here, man. I'm gonna let you have that, I'm gonna be over here.
Exactly.
I encourage everybody, man, please, man, go read Joe Biden's website. Go read Kamala.
Go look at plans. Go look at the plans.
Go look at the plan. Fuck the interviews, all that, what they said. Go read the plan for Black America. Go read the plan for women. Go read the plan for Joe Biden's plan. And then go line it up against Trump's. It's a layup, y'all. It's a layup on a 6-foot goal.
That's what's up, man. Well, let's get out of here, fellas, man. It's been another episode of the Why Not Us podcast. Please keep liking and subscribing. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And when the episode drops, if you could do us a favor, man, just share it with your closest friend, man. We love y'all. Peace.
Peace out. Peace.